Well, we take a look at some of the things happening in the world of politics with our Professor of Politics from the University of Newcastle, Dr. Jim Joson. Today, Jim, we are sort of heading across to another part of the world, across to Central America. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Yes, I thought we'd have a look at an incident that happened in Ecuador back in early April when the Ecuadorian authorities stormed the Mexican embassy and arrested someone seeking refuge there, the former vice president of Ecuador, who there's some background to go to this, which I'll come to in a minute, but who was taking refuge there and was seeking asylum. And the why this is sort of so interesting is that it's not the norm for countries to storm an embassy, to invade an embassy, to rough up the ambassador and that sort of thing, and arrest somebody inside the embassy. Because under the Vienna Convention on International Relations, which sort of dates from 1961, and it's the premises of the embassy and also perhaps the premises of the residential premises of the ambassador and so forth, these are deemed inviolable. These are deemed basically spaces where the host country cannot go without the permission of the country whose embassy it happens to be.
Yeah, very rare. We've had other high-profile people, you know, seeking asylum in embassies and just they haven't been stormed. Well, but in this case...
In this particular case, I can find only two examples of ignoring terrorist attacks and criminal gangs and that sort of thing, Mark. There are two examples that I can find. One was in 1918 in Moscow when the Bolshevik government had just seized power and believed that the British were operating a spy ring out of the British embassy, and they, the Cheka, the newly formed secret police, stormed in and arrested a number of people. And the other one was in China in 1928, and there was, as people may be familiar with, there was a national sort of nationalist movement going, and there was a sort of alliance of various groups. One of the left-wing members of the alliance, Li Tachar, took refuge or sought refuge in the Russian embassy when the alliance fell apart. And one of the warlords, as part of the alliance, then invaded the embassy and arrested him, took him out and had him executed. So they're the only two, and so the 1928 one in China had the support of most of the Western powers at the time.
Mm. All right, so if we fast forward to this poor chap at the moment, cut from April. Well, where are we thinking? Well, why did they feel they wanted to go after him? What's his story?
Well, he, as far as the Ecuadorian government's concerned, he's a criminal, and he's been convicted in 2017 for 6 years imprisonment for bribery. Then again in 2020, another 8 years, plus he lost his political rights for 25 years. Then in 2021, another 8 years. And then in 2022, he managed to somehow or other gain release, provided he didn't leave the country. So there's I do not understand the sort of legalities that were involved, but he was able to get released. This was all well and good. He then began to seek refuge, like I said, in the Mexican embassy. And the other context that we need to have here is that the Mexican president in early April criticised or made comments about the election at the end of 2023, which saw the new president, President Daniel Noboa, elected. And there was an assassination in the election process in which one of the candidates was killed. And the the Mexican president drew attention to this as perhaps was leading to the ability of this particular candidate to become president. This was on April the 3rd. On April the 4th, the Mexican government the Ecuadorian government declared the Mexican ambassador persona non grata in retaliation for the Mexican president's comments. And basically ordered the ambassador out of the country as soon as possible. The next day, April the 5th, the Mexican government grants formal asylum to Jorge Blas, the former vice president, and within hours, the Ecuadorian authorities have stormed the embassy and arrested him. The Ecuadorian position is that he is a convicted criminal. He's convicted of civilian-type crimes of, you know, bribery, accepting bribes, that sort of thing, and therefore he has no grounds for seeking asylum under all the various conventions. He claims he's a political, he faces political persecution, and his supporters suggest that he's being hounded by the Ecuadorian government. Now, this is over a period now of several years in which he was vice president of one of the governments that had him arrested and charged. So it's really quite complicated in that respect. But the important principle of the embassy being inviolable has sort of been breached by the Ecuadorian government, even though they claim that they have authority, as it were, under other international conventions that host nations should not be harbouring and do not have the right to harbour convicted criminals.
All right. Well, it's a slippery slope, I suppose, for countries to be moving into embassies like that. But like you said, only two or three examples, Jim, apart from all the obvious stuff. All right, mate, but time's going to get us. As always, a pleasure. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, Mark. Thank you.